You're listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves.
Welcome to Atlanta Baseball Talk, show number 357. Today is Sunday, March 5th, and my name is Steve. No Curtis tonight, but I am joined by Hamilton and Ham.
Yeah.
In tonight's show, we'll check in on all the big happenings from the first few weeks of Braves spring training, and we'll start by focusing on the prospects who are making news in camp. But first, a quick break. All right, Ham. So MLB.com ranked the Braves farm system number one this past week.
Woohoo!
Unbelievable, though. I mean, seriously, that all this started in 2014 as we started unloading Hayward and Justin, and now we're here.
But it's an amazing turnaround. I mean, it's great. It's exciting. And, you know, you have to tip your cap to copy. It's almost hard to say. Tip your cap to copy. I mean, obviously, we have a lot of money in the bank right now. We haven't spent any, as it were, right? So a farm system means nothing if it doesn't translate at the big league level. But it's still exciting. I mean, if it's certainly what you want. It's better than having not the number one farm system in the league.
Yeah, I mean, number one farm system and two guys in the top 10 in Swanson and Albies. I mean, it's just crazy. It is heady times in terms of, potential.
Absolutely. Very promising.
Really fun. Yeah. All right. So let's look at some of the headlines from the prospects who are in camp. So first, we'll start with a bad one. Mm. Dustin Peterson.
Yeah.
Lost to hand surgery for 2 months.
I know. This makes me so nervous and disappointed. And the thing that was scary, and I think I read this on Talking Chop, was Giancarlo Stanton had the same injury, very similar injury, the hook bone in his hand.
The hammy.
Yeah. And he was sidelined on June 27th in 2015. He began a rehab assignment on September 1st, and he never played again for the rest of the year. Now, it's Stanton, right? They probably didn't want to rush him back or anything like that. But, you know, I had hopes for Peterson being our fourth outfielder. I think I'm not the only one who felt that. And I don't know. I think this is a big blow to the Braves. I think all of a sudden they're scrambling for a fourth outfielder, and looking at people in a way that they have not looked at people before. I think we're, I know we got Phillips very cheaply, but I think we're strapped sort of salary cap wise. I don't think we're going to go out and get, another big signing. So I don't know. This stinks, and it stinks for Peterson. I felt like this was his year to make a splash, and who knows? Maybe it is 2 months, and maybe he's back before we even know it. But this was a big blow, I believe.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, how big a blow is the fourth outfielder, though, Ham? I feel like that's a little strong. I mean, Frenchie's out there.
Yeah,
we can always sign Frenchie.
And
I don't know.
Pagan.
Look, it's
Angel Pagan's out there. Yeah.
Certainly it's terrible for him. And this, he was part of that Carolina team that had the bus crash where he got sidelined. You know, a bunch of those guys in 2015 who were having good seasons never quite back, got back on track. But he was looking good, has some power, was going to, make the team, be on the bench or at least be in Gwinnett this year. I mean, it's certainly a bummer.
Yeah. And I mean, I think the fourth outfielder is, and we'll get to Kemp and later, but you're one injury away, right? Ender, a bad hammy. Markakis has been an iron horse since he's been here, but those aren't givens. Kemp is certainly injury prone, I think. So you want to have a good backup, and all of a sudden we're looking at Darnold or. I don't know.
Dustin's brother Jace started in center field this weekend.
Oh goodness!
And I certainly because of this, right? I mean, they're trying to see what they can do to cobble something together.
Yeah.
All right. So Dustin Peterson came as part of the Justin Upton trade in 2014, and also part of that trade, and really the crown jewel of it was Max Fried.
Yeah.
Right, and so Fried comes in this week against the Tigers, and all he does is go 1-2-3 against Miggy, Martinez, and Justin.
Yeah.
And so exciting, dude. I mean, he's not he's not the number one rated pitcher in the farm system, but this guy is close, and I think he's going to be the real deal. I mean, all the talk, you know, the first couple weeks in the spring as he was pitching on the backfields and simulated games was the devastating curveball, and it showed itself in that game this week. I mean, he's going to be really exciting.
Yeah, and he looked good on Saturday, too, against the Marlins. I mean, I think he went more than one inning, two innings and late relief against the Marlins. So I think we should expect to see him next season, right? He's only 23, which feels old by comparison to some of the prospects we have.
Right.
Young guy, if he can stay healthy and that, you know, the Tommy John is 2 years behind him, it's very exciting. And certainly, you know, you don't want to talk about him as a commodity. I'd love to see him as a Brave, but we have a lot of depth, and he's going to be valuable to us as a trade prospect or as someone who is actually part of our rotation down the road.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose that's possible, but he's like, you know, the bridge that the Braves have in place with Colon and Dickey and Garcia. I mean, I think that Fried is as close as anybody.
Yeah, on the other side of that bridge, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so speaking of guys he's older than, Ronald Acuna, outfielder of the future.
Yeah.
He goes 3-for-4 in his first start in the outfield this week and continued to hit this week. He's hitting like over 500.
Yeah.
Really nice start for Acuna.
Well, and it's exciting. And, you know, Chipper Jones says Acuna reminds him of Andrew Jones. And certainly we remember what Andrew Jones did when he was 19. So who knows? Maybe I'm being completely unrealistic and loving a very short sample size here for spring training, but maybe he's up here sooner than we expect. I mean, he certainly came out of nowhere for me.
Yeah, and, you know, Snicker this week was talking about him, saying, oh, he plays much older than 19, all of that good stuff. I don't know. Maybe second half of the year. It seems early. I think he's more 2018. I think that MLB.com had his you know, expected big league date or year, I should say, is 2019. But yeah, we'll you never see. Know. I mean, he's turning heads. As
he's
they
turning
say.
Heads. And you certainly don't want him to come up here and sit. So, I mean, that's a reason not to bring him up. But it's exciting and surprising, right? It's not someone who I think last year we weren't saying Acuna all the time, right? So,
well, he's so young.
Yeah, it's just,
right? I mean,
yeah, just another. Another kudos to copy. God, I have all these like alliteration things to copy. Tip your cap to copy, kudos to copy. But yeah, we got a lot of people in the farm.
Yeah, five tool guy coming into his power this year, has speed to play center too. Like Acuna's going to be the real deal.
Yeah. And it makes, oh, God, I can't believe I just spaced on his name. Who did we give up? Who played for us in center last year, young guy. We just traded him. He had hurt his hamstring. Remember, he batted ninth for a while. I cannot believe I'm spacing on his name. We should do research for the show. He was our center fielder of the future. We just traded him.
Malik.
Malik. I wanted to say Mansby. I got all my Braves. Yeah.
I wanted to say Eric Young Jr.
Oh, well.
But then okay. I knew he wasn't the center fielder of the future.
No. But Malik, right? It's nice to have Malik replaced with someone who's exciting.
All right. Also exciting, our second baseman of the future.
Yes.
Ozzie Albies, right, who broke a bone in his elbow at the end of the minor league season last year in the playoffs. Swinging a bat, which still is concerning. And I haven't read any articles that is like, that's a concerning injury and a strange thing to happen.
I heard it was fluky.
Hope it's just fluky.
Yeah.
But he has been cleared to start playing games this coming week. Ozzie has said it will be Tuesday. You know, Snicker follows in that Bobby tradition of adding a day or two on before you come off the DL, but it looks like this week we will start to see Ozzie playing some games. Cannot wait for that.
That's exciting. So what do you think that – I mean, Snicker also said, or maybe it was Copy, that he would not be blocked, right?
Yeah,
when he was, yeah, when he was ready, that there would be a slot for him, which is great. What do you do with Brandon Phillips there? I mean, how do you think this plays out? Is it – I mean, I guess for me, ideally, is Brandon Phillips has an amazing season. Ozzy comes along, and then maybe we trade Phillips. You know, maybe somebody other team wants him who needs a second baseman who's got, you know, a shortage in the infield. I mean, do you think Ozzy comes back and we keep Phillips for the whole year on the roster? How do you think that plays out?
I think it will all become very clear, right? We got to see how Ozzy does in the minor leagues, and you see how Phillips is doing. I mean, if Phillips is killing it, but Ozzy seems ready, you're right. I mean, Phillips is a $1 million hit on somebody, and of course it'll be less depending on how much of the year is gone. I mean, if Phillips regains some of his defensive form and is hitting like he's continued to hit, yeah, he'll be a really easy trade piece. But Ozzy's got to be ready. Phillips has got to look good. But it'll all be pretty clear what to do, I think.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
All right, so not too many data points on the two guys who are battling for the fifth starter spot, along with Folty, who's expected to get it. But so Aaron Blair and Whistler, right? Whistler got roughed up earlier this week against the Yankees. Very tough first inning. I mean, it was something like single, double, sack fly. I mean, it was pretty ugly.
Five runs over two innings, I think.
Yeah, although he did look a little bit better in that second inning. He has not pitched since then. And then Blair had a mediocre start this inning and then had a split squad game. I'm sorry, he had a relief appearance earlier this week. But he had a start on Saturday. And then after the first batter, he got hit on the non-throwing hand and was taken out as a precautionary measure. So a slow start for Aaron Blair.
Yeah, bad luck, Blair. I guess it's Folty's to lose, and I think you may have said that, right? So we're looking at a starting rotation this season of Tehran, Garcia, Dickey Colon, and Folty, right? It'd be good if Whistler just had more chances. I mean, we're 10 games in now, I guess, to the spring.
We're 10 games in, but remember, there's an extra week because of the WBC. Like, the games started earlier.
Yeah.
So he'll have options, and there'll be more split squad. Sean Newcomb also went this week and got roughed up, but you know he finished his minor league season really strong.
Yeah,
be great for him to come on too. But yeah, I mean, I have no doubt we will see a good bit of Whistler. You know, and Tehran goes away to the WBC for a while as well, opening up some spots.
Yeah, I mean, we have so many guys we want to look at. Again, it's almost in an abundance of riches, but there's you got to get all these guys innings. And the reason I say this is that I feel like the deck is sort of stacked against Whistler a little bit to make that fifth spot, right? I mean, obviously Folty finished much stronger, but I mean, Whistler is a good pitcher, and I had high hopes for him as being a more permanent part of our rotation long term, and I'm feeling that less and less.
Yeah, well, 2 years ago, certainly I thought he was going to be. And look, it's fine. I really don't picture the scenario where he beats out Folty. But injuries happen. Stuff happens. If he starts looking good in AAA, I mean, he'll get his chance if he starts figuring it out.
Yeah, I guess so.
All right, Ham, let's take a look at some of the news made by the guys who will be on the 25-man roster this year. But first, a quick break. So, Ham, I said we'd start with our everyday position players, but I actually want to start with one of the new coaches.
Okay.
And actually, so if my memory serves, during the early days last year, when Snitker was really interim and before all the end of the season winning started, and we were having, you know, our conversations about bracing ourselves that Bud Black mm-hmm. was going to be the manager this year. I think one of your predictions was that, you know, look out, Ron Washington.
It was.
Could be the guy, right? That was you.
Yep.
So, and given the fact that no one was talking about him, and even though he ended up as our third base coach, I want to give you props.
Ah, thank you.
Yeah, man.
Well, there are a lot of people who made jokes. I mean, he ended so ignominiously in Texas, and there was the drug allegations and all that. I felt bad for him, and I think it quickly overshadowed. He's a good coach, right? I mean, he's got a lot of experience, and maybe he'd make some bad in-game decisions, but I think we're lucky to have him on the team. And I think if it doesn't work out for Snitker, I would still be happy to have him as our manager.
Yeah, and it was great. All the stories during the first couple weeks of the spring before the game started of how he's there first thing and he's the last guy to leave, and all the video of like the infield the infield practice he was doing with Freddie and Phillips. And I mean, he was just, I mean, guys clearly loved him. He was putting in long, long days. It was, I just loved all the Ron Washington stuff. I thought it was really fun.
Me too.
All right. So let's get to the guys. So Freddie, speaking of, he's hitting about 700 and he's off.
I think it's down to 500, but close enough. Yeah.
So he's off to the World Baseball Classic.
Uh-huh.
And it's cool, I think, that Freddie's going to face Tehran next weekend when Canada faces Colombia. That's just neat.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Do you think Freddie gets a hit off of Tehran? Let's figure he gets two at-bats against him. Does he get a hit? I say no.
I say he does. There we go. Just to be the counterpoint to that. I'm excited for it. I've never felt this way before. I always thought like the World Baseball Classic was great and people got a chance to do, you know, it was interesting. I've always been worried about Freddie's health. Last season, he proved us all wrong. He played, you know, over 150 games. I don't know. Don't get hurt. God, don't get hurt, Freddie.
And it's the pitchers. And really, I worry more about the pitchers than the position players. But yes, any of them
who are not stretched out. Yeah, Tehran, don't get, you know. I mean, yeah. I saw that Garcia is not going to go. I'm happy for that.
Right. Colon is still on the fence, right? I think he hasn't come out and said one way or another.
Yeah. I'm worried less about him than I am about Tehran. But I'm excited that I still feel like Freddie is flying under the radar in terms of other first basemen. It's a chance for him to shine maybe a little bit. I want people to realize that he's one of the best first basemen in the game, right? He's obviously the Braves' best player. So I am excited for him to have that platform and hopefully to really shine. And maybe this year is an MVP year for him. Who knows?
If the Braves do better than he does what he did last year or better, then he will be in the MVP conversation. It's, you know, part of it's the team.
Yeah.
I mean, he had an MVP caliber season last year, except, you know, the Braves were however many games out.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's move across the diamond to shortstop and Dansby Swanson. He's hitting over 400.
I love the pictures of Dansby and Chipper next to each other, just sitting outside the cage, talking, hitting. I'm so excited. Not that I have a lot of Schadenfreude, but the Dave Stewart quote about the one thing he regrets, like, no duh. Don't forget Ender. In that one, Dave.
He's
given up Swanson. But I'm so excited for this season for Swanson. I think he's going to be – I mean, he's going to be the one that I could see him – you know, and if I think the Braves have three nationally televised games this year or something like that, where he's the picture of the player that they show for the Braves, right?
Right.
And so
right.
I'm excited for that. I just hope that he continues his sort of meteoric rise and just capitalizing on his talent and all that. I'm most excited for his season more than anybody's.
Yeah, this is a big deal. We have the number four prospect in baseball and we get to sit back and watch his first full season this year. With as much seasoning as you could have gotten last year and still being a rookie.
Yep.
Right. He's come in and clearly is really comfortable already in spring. Yeah, it is an exciting time.
Yeah.
In the Dansby Swanson era.
And we deserve it. Right. I mean, this is where it started. You know, we went through all that rebuilding. We kicked off the show talking about the great job that the guys had done with the farm system. And we're starting to see it. And Dansby is the tip of the spear on this. And it's very exciting. And we went through it. We went through some bleak seasons to get here. And it's exciting to have it be here so soon, quite frankly. It's sooner than I thought.
Yep. All right. So, Ham, last year, while he certainly hit and exceeded expectations at the plate, Matt Kemp came in really overweight, slow and plodding in the outfield. That did get a little better as the season went on. But, you know, he came in and the best shape of his life stories started. He clearly had lost some weight coming in. And there was a bunch of stories before the game started that he was the first guy in and, you know, staying late, doing agility exercises. You know, the beat writers were posting videos of him doing agility exercises in the outfield and all that stuff. And I mean, he really hasn't started hitting yet, and a couple of guys haven't. But look, I love a best shape of his life story.
I was going to say, you know who loves a best shape of his life story more than anybody? It's you. Yeah, it is exciting.
But think about if he really, I mean, you know, think about if he continues to do what he did after he came here last year. It's going to be, that's a big piece of our offense this year.
Yeah, and a complete surprise. I mean, there was a lot of derision, even from people on this show, about Matt Kemp last year. And what was he bringing to the table? And I mean, I did argue that he offered Freddie some protection. But imagine if he's actually a force to be reckoned with, like you said, behind Freddie. And then you've got Dansby and you've got Ender, Brandon
Phillips.
Well,
and behind Kemp, five, you've got Markakis. Six, you've got Brandon Phillips. It's pretty good.
Yeah. No, it's really, really good. And it's very, very exciting. And I'm surprised. I thought Kemp was we needed to fill a roster spot. Let's pick him up. He's a retread. And to read these stories. Now, obviously, he's not struck out this spring, but he has yet to hit either. That needs to happen, and it will come, I'm sure. It's very promising. Very promising.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So moving to the bullpen, Paco Rodriguez. He was one of the pieces that we received in the trade that brought us Hector Olivera, as we all like to talk about.
Mm-hmm. One of our best trades.
Yes. So he never took the field because, of course, a day after he arrived, he had to get Tommy John.
It's part of his onboarding.
Exactly. But he looks healthy, and we need him. I mean, he's a big lefty, right? Ian Kroll is the lefty that's still in the picture, but he's, one, had a slow start this spring, and two, he doesn't dominate lefties. Like, we really need that lefty specialist. And Paco is healthy so far and fitting the bill. It would be good. It would really be good if he's what, you know, he was back in 13 and 14.
Yeah, I mean, he could be R.O. Flaherty when he was part so valuable to us, right? So, absolutely. I think it's great. And you know, I think I'm not so worried about the bullpen. People say it's the weak spot of the team, and obviously.
Oh, I don't know. I don't see that either.
No, but that was because all of a sudden you look at the team and people are, you know, picking the Phillies last in the East and then the Braves right after them or right ahead of them. And they're saying that we've got a young, promising lineup, and it was one of the best offenses in the late part of last season. You've got some veteran pitchers who could really pull together. Maybe I'm just being too ambitious, but the bullpen is where it's going to let us down, and I don't think they're going to. And I'm very bullish still on the Braves. And even though we're 2-8 in the spring, I'm very bullish on the Braves. I do think we're a 500 team with room to grow above that.
So totally. And we are finishing ahead of the Marlins.
I think so too. Yeah. I think so too.
So you mentioned O'Flaherty. Remember, O'Flaherty is on the spring roster. Mm-hmm. And he's actually pitched pretty well so far. I mean, I think he's a long shot.
Yeah.
But he's had a couple of good outings.
Yeah. I believe it.
Look, it would be nice. The nostalgia factor, if he could pitch, would be great.
Sure, I love him, but I don't have a lot of hope for him. I mean, I wish him the best, but I think his better days are behind him.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, I mean, sure. Yeah. All right, staying with the bullpen, and speaking of the strength and the depth of the bullpen, Vizcaino, who was really sort of disappeared the last third of the season after his injury, he has looked healthy. Mm-hmm. His velocity has returned, and that's key, right? You've got Jim Johnson pitching well. Snitker announced no two- or three-headed closing monster, that Johnson's opening the season as the closer. And behind him, you've got Vizcaino. You've got Cabrera, who's already hitting, 103 on the pitch clock. I mean, we've got some.
Paco Rodriguez, like you just said. Yeah.
We've got Paco. Yeah, we've got some. You know, we got some guys back there.
Yeah, and I mean, it's especially if some of these older guys. I don't know if Dickey or Colon. If we're getting six from them, and we can do a seven. You know, a 7-8-9 of Rodriguez, Cabrera, Vizcaino, Johnson. That's a winning formula.
I agree.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think we need some middle relievers or some long relievers. And obviously, we have so many young pitchers who might, get put into that slot.
Well, and Cole Mentor will probably be the long guy.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, when Blair got hit, Cole Mentor came in and pitched, I think, three innings and pitched very well. I would assume Cole Mentor will be that guy.
Do you think Vizcaino, though, don't you feel like Vizcaino, though, is the closer of the future? I think he doesn't have the mental stuff to do it right now, but I don't know. I feel like I want to see him close
some games.
Yeah,
if he stays healthy, or Cabrera. I mean, both of those guys. But, yeah, Vizzy looked amazing. He had some great stretches the first half of the season.
Yeah.
So we'll see if he stays healthy.
Yeah.
All right. So some of the other position guys, like we said, a lot of the position guys haven't started hitting yet. Although, you know, DOB pointed out today that because of the WBC schedule and because of the extra week of games, the starters haven't played nearly as much as they would have. Right. But Ender really hasn't done much. Phillips, Markakis, Kemp. But it's meaningless now. I mean,
yeah,
you know, in a couple of weeks, I suppose you start to maybe acknowledge it some, but they're working on stuff.
They are, and so are the pitchers, right? So are the pitchers. Yeah. I mean, their pitchers are trying to hit spots regardless of the situation. Hitters are trying to hit certain parts of the field regardless of the pitch count, all that. It's just not real baseball.
Yeah, totally.
It's easy to want to, especially when there's so many unknowns and you have so much hope for the season, especially coming off such a bad season. And, well, a bad season that finished strongly. You want to see that momentum carry through spring training, but it's not real baseball. So Stevie, let me ask you before we quit. So what was your prediction for – has the needle shifted for you in terms of prediction on how many wins the Braves have?
No. So we did this, what, I think end of January we predicted. And I think I said – I don't remember what I said, but 84 or 86 or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, totally, man. I feel good. I honestly, the wild card's not out of the picture for me at this point.
All right.
And I'm being totally serious.
I think everybody believes you when you say you're being totally serious. I definitely think 500, above 500 could be expected. Now, I mean, you know, that obviously we'll need to reforecast once we see how the first couple months play out. But I'm still so excited about this team. I'm very bullish on this team. And you know, I'm excited to be in a new park. I hope we get a little bit of a bump from that. And then it makes 2018, I almost want to skip past this year and be in 2018 because I feel like we are so close. It's so exciting. It's good to be a Braves fan right now.
No doubt. All right, Ham, let's finish up with one of the rule changes that MLB announced recently. And that was that the intentional walk will now just consist of a gesture by the manager. The batter simply takes his base. No more throwing to the catcher four times. Do you feel strongly about it one way or another?
I'm happy for it to change.
Are you? What do you like about it?
It seems arcane, and I don't get it, right? I mean, the only thing that you're allowing for is maybe there's a wild pitch.
Or a steal, or the guy swings at it. I mean, I know those things don't happen very often.
I can't remember ever seeing those things happen. I remember one time seeing like a bad pitch where it got by a guy and that was it. But especially if there's no one on, I mean, maybe, but I don't want to get into it. I don't mind it at all. I don't even mind the rule change where you start the extra innings with a man on second, to be honest with you.
Oh, really? Mammy, what's wrong with you? That's insane. This isn't Little League.
I still have my real teeth.
I think to change a rule that's saving 30 seconds off a 3-hour and 5-minute game is just ludicrous.
But you,
like, if you're going to mess with it, at least move the needle. This doesn't move the needle. All it does is change the game.
I think it moves the needle a little bit. It's not going to be – you're not going to have any one game change that's going to make the game faster. You just have to be looking
at – Oh, sure you are. There's like don't step out of the batter's box. Don't readjust your Velcro. There's stuff that they could do.
And they will continue to do that. But I think it's baby steps, right, for all you traditionalists. I mean, how would you feel if you couldn't step out of the batter's box?
Yeah, let's put that in place right now.
So you would rather have that instead of the four, just having it be an automatic walk?
Yeah, because that would actually save time. This doesn't even save time. All it does is change the game and doesn't save time. It doesn't do the thing it intends to do.
It saves time.
30 seconds.
That's 30.
Hammy.
Yeah.
30 seconds.
That's 30 seconds where they could sell us more beer.
It just doesn't make any sense to me. It just seems like doing something for the sake of doing something to make it look like you've taken action.
Yeah.
And done nothing.
I don't think that. I mean,
changed this beautiful game, as Freddie Freeman said.
I don't care either way. I mean, if they had left it in, it wouldn't have bothered me, but it doesn't bother me. And I guess I'm a little bit happier that they did it. At least it's trying. I don't think it's like they're trying to, like, you know, misdirect us. Like, look, we're trying to change the game without doing anything. I think it was an honest attempt to continue to make the game better. You're not going to just change it overnight. I don't see the buyer's box thing. I don't think will ever happen.
Okay. Well, you're wrong, but okay. I appreciate you talking
All right.
about it.
Sure. Grandpa.
All right, folks, that is the show. Remember, we are at our new home of Blog Talk Radio, and you can also find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and newly at Google Play.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know. We've been busy this offseason, too. All right, as always, you can find us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com to access our shows, to check out our blogs, and to post in our comment section. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at ATL Baseball Talk, and to like us on Facebook. Thanks for listening, everyone, and go Braves!
Thanks for listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves. To find new shows, to post in our forum, or to send a comment, please visit us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com. How do it?